Welcome to day 137 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm happy to be back again with you today. We are reading this week in the Amplified Bible, and today's reading will take us through 2 Samuel chapters 16, 17, and 18. We will continue the story of Absalom's rebellion against David, and it takes a fascinating turn today, beginning at 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When David was a little past the top of Olivet, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. The king said to Ziba, "What do you mean by these?" Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine is for those to drink who become faint in the wilderness." The king said, "And where is your master's son, grandson Mephibosheth?" Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he remains in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father, grandfather Saul.'" Then the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." Ziba said, "I do obeisance. Let me ever find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." When King David came to Bahurim, a man of the family of the house of Saul, Shimei, the son of Gera, came out and cursed continually as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you base fellow. The Lord has avenged upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom, your son. Behold, the calamity is upon you because you are a bloody man." Then said David's nephew, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his head." The king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, 'Curse David,' who then shall ask, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, who was born to me, seeks my life. With how much more reason now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him to do it. It may be that the Lord will look on the iniquity done me and will recompense me with good for his cursing this day." So David and his men went by the road, and Shimei went along on the hillside opposite David and cursed as he went and threw stones and dust at him. And the king and all the people who were with him came to the Jordan weary, and he refreshed himself there. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to him, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your kindness and loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" Hushai said to Absalom, "No. For whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him I will remain. And again, whom should I serve? Should it not be his son? As I have served your father, so will I serve you." Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your counsel. What should we do?" And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go in to your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be made strong." So they spread for Absalom a tent on the top of the king's house, And Absalom went into his father's harem in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel in those days was as if a man had consulted the word of God. So was all Ahithophel's counsel considered, both by David and by Absalom. Chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will set out and pursue David this night. I will come upon him while he's exhausted and weak and cause him to panic. All the people with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone. I will bring back all the people to you. The removal of the man whom you seek is the assurance that all will return, and all the people will be at peace." And what he said pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. Absalom said, "Now, call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says." When Hushai came, Absalom said to him, "Ahithophel has counseled thus. Shall we do what he says? If not, speak up." And Hushai said to Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For," said Hushai, "you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are embittered and enraged like a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hidden even now in some pit or other place. And when some of them are overthrown at the first, whoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the followers of Absalom.' And even he who is brave, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, will utterly melt. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man and that those who are with him are brave men. Therefore, I counsel that all the men of Israel be gathered to you, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in your own person. So shall we come upon David some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew settles, unseen and unheard, on the ground. And of him and of all the men with him, there shall not be left so much as one. If he withdraws into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will drag it into the ravine until not one pebble is left there." Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Then said Hushai to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, "Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel. And thus have I counseled. Now send quickly and tell David, 'Lodge not this night at the fords at the Jordan of the wilderness, but by all means pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people with him.'" Now the youths, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, stayed at En-Rogel, for they must not be seen coming into the city. But a maidservant went and told them, and they went and told King David. But a lad saw them and told Absalom, but they left quickly and came to the house of a man in Bahurim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. And the woman spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn on it, and the thing was not discovered. For when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said to them, "They went over the brook of water. When they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem." After they had departed, the boys came up out of the well and went and told King David and said, "Arise and pass quickly over the river Jordan, for thus and so has Ahithophel counseled against you." David arose and all the people with him and passed over the Jordan. By daybreak, not one was left who had not crossed. But when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey, went home to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the tomb of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim. And Absalom passed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. Amasa was the son of an Ishmaelite named Ithra, who married Abigail, daughter of Nahash, half-sister of David, and sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. When David came to Mahanaim, Shobi, son of Nahash of Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir, son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, meal, parched grain, beans, lentil, parched pulse, seeds of beans and peas, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of cows for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness." Chapter 18. David numbered the men who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and of hundreds. David sent forth the army, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Abishai, son of Zariah, Joab's brother, and a third under Ittai the Gittite. He told the men, "I myself will go out with you also." But the men said, "You shall not go out, for if we flee, they will not care about us. If half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 such as we are. So now it is better that you be able to help us from the city." The king said to them, "Whatever seems best to you, I will do." So he stood beside the gate, and all the army came out by hundreds and by thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. Absalom's men of Israel were defeated by the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more men that day than did the sword. Then Absalom unavoidably met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and Absalom's head caught fast in a fork of the oak, and the mule under him ran away, leaving him hanging between the heavens and the earth. A certain man saw it and told Joab, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Joab said to the man, "You saw him? Why did you not strike him down to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." The man told Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver, yet I would not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged you, Abishai and Ittai, 'Have a care, whoever you be, for the young man Absalom. Otherwise, if I had dealt falsely against his life, for nothing is hidden from the king, you yourself would have taken sides against me.'" Joab said, "I will not tarry thus with you." He took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them into the body of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor-bearers, surrounded and struck Absalom and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the troops returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained and spared them. They took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the forest, and raised a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his own home. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's valley. For he said, "I have no son to keep my name in remembrance." He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's monument. Then said Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings of how the Lord has avenged David of his enemies." Joab told him, You shall not carry news today, but another time. Today you shall bear no news, for the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to the Cushite, an Ethiopian, go tell the king what you have seen. And the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, again to Joab, but anyhow, let me, I pray you, also run after the Cushite. Joab said, why should you run, my son, seeing you will have no reward, for you have not sufficient tidings? But he said, let me run anyhow. So Joab said to him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate by the wall. And when he looked, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out and told the king. The king said, if he is alone, he has news to tell. And he came on and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper, behold, another man running alone. The king said, he also brings news. The watchman said, I think the man in front runs like Ahimaaz, son of Zadok. The king said, he's a good man and comes with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. And he fell down to the ground on his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God, who has shut up the men who lifted up their hands against my lord the king. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servants and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I do not know what it was. The king told him, turn aside, stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, the Cushite Ethiopian came, and he said, news, my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from all who rose against you. The king said to the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? The Cushite replied, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do evil be like that young man is. And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Today's reading brought us the sad tale of Absalom and his rebellion against his father, King David. No doubt a great sorrow to his father on many levels. And we end our reading in chapter 18 with David mourning, my son Absalom. But there's something that I want to bring to your attention out of these three chapters. And that is two men who really had an opportunistic spirit. The first one, we saw Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. He met David with a couple of donkeys saddled, 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, fruit, wine, all of that. And the king asked him, what does all this mean? And he flattered the king. Oh, these are for the king's household to ride on. The wine's for those who become faint in the wilderness. And then the king asked him, well, where's Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of Saul and Jonathan's son? that David had exalted to the position of eating at the king's table and caring for him because of his promise to Jonathan, his friend. And Ziba says something interesting. He says, "Behold, he remains in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father or grandfather Saul.'" Now, first of all, it is 99.9% certain that that was a lie that Ziba was telling, because there's no reason to believe that Absalom would in any possible way give over the kingdom if he had won the battle with David over to Jonathan's lame son Mephibosheth. So there's no reason to believe that this was a true statement from Ziba. In fact, the reality was that Ziba was an opportunist. He saw this opportunity to see if he could get closer to David, get his favor and all of that. And sure enough, David doesn't take time to think that one through. And in the midst of his own sorrow and running out of Jerusalem, he says to Ziba, "Okay, all that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." And then Ziba pretends to just bow to him and all of this. So we see this opportunistic activity or behavior on the part of Ziba, who looks to get something from this relationship with David that was started because David graciously sought to find out if Jonathan had any living descendants that he could show favor to as promised when they were both alive and young men. You know, the word opportunism or opportunist means a person who knowingly takes advantage of situations, circumstances, or people for their own selfish gain, their own selfish reasons, with no regard for moral principle. And that is exactly what we see here with Ziba, because David had put him in charge of taking care of Mephibosheth and his family and had provided for him in that way. But instead, Ziba looks to gain some more from this situation when he realizes that David's running out of Jerusalem and he can lie about Mephibosheth because Mephibosheth can't answer for himself. He's lame. He doesn't have a way to follow him up the mountain and out of the city. So, and later on we'll see that that's exactly what Mephibosheth testifies to David, that Ziba left him and that that was absolutely not his heart at all, and that he wept and fasted until David was returned to the throne once again. So first thing we see here is this opportunistic, moral, without morality, without any concern about principle, this man trying to take advantage of the situation. But then we'll get to the serious opportunist that I want to talk about today, and that is the man named Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel had been a counselor in King David's court. He was known for his tremendous wisdom, natural wisdom, I would dare say. And we find him here becoming the counselor for the rebel Absalom. And in fact, researchers and Bible scholars believe that he was probably at the heart of the rebellion, counseling Absalom long before this situation got to this point, and planting the seeds of rebellion by telling Absalom, "Hey, your father's never going to give you the kingdom unless you take it by force. Bathsheba has been getting closer and closer and becoming more influential in David's life, and she had a very ambitious plan herself that her son Solomon would become the king. And it was God's will, but Bathsheba was always working an angle trying to remind David that he promised that Solomon would become king. And Absalom stood in the way, so to speak, because the truth was Solomon was the younger son, Absalom the older, and by right of succession, Absalom had more claim to the throne upon the death of David. So it's very possible that Ahithophel seeing the future and wanting to make sure he was on the king's court again, that he became friendly with and began to counsel Absalom in how to prepare himself to take hold of the throne by force. And so Ahithophel is the opportunist that I want to talk about today. Think about that, his behavior, and what the meaning of that word is. Taking advantage of situations and circumstances for his own personal gain or his own selfish reasons, with little or no regard to moral principle of any kind. And that is definitely what we see here in Ahithophel's life. And I bring this to your attention because we see this type of behavior in our society today so very often, where there's little loyalty and there is a lot of opportunism. The person's just out for themselves, what they can get, how they can climb the ladder, how they can get more money or get a better position without regard to principle, morality, or loyalty to a friend. Ahithophel had been David's counselor. David had been good to him, kept him close to him, and now he turns on him and probably was plotting against him for quite some time. And it's very possible that Ahithophel was the one that suggested that Absalom stand at the city gate and talk to the people as they come and essentially schmooze with people and tell them, oh, if I was the judge, things would really go well for you, and begin to just try to win the hearts of the people over until the scripture tells us he had stolen the hearts of the people of Israel. One of the most dramatic and obvious bits of evidence that Ahithophel had absolutely no morals. He might have had a lot of wisdom in the natural sense of what to do with this battle or with that king, or how to approach a situation in administration in the country, but he obviously completely lacked any respect for God and completely had no morals whatsoever. And the evidence that we see for this is the fact that he counseled Absalom to do something absolutely wicked for the purpose of making it very clear to the whole country that there would never be reconciliation between David and Absalom. And that was the issue of Ahithophel telling him, go and get your father's concubines who've been left behind to take care of the house, and go and basically do perverted things in sight of all the people. And he pitched a tent on the palace roof so that everybody in the whole country knew that he did this wicked thing with the concubines of King David, so that it was clear he was making a statement. I am not in agreement with, I'm not in any way going to ever be reconciled to my father. I'm taking over as king right now. And that counsel from Ahithophel was also probably very self-centered for this reason. Ahithophel knew that unless there was a complete break between Absalom and David, that if David actually won the battle that they were about to have, he was very soft-hearted toward Absalom and wouldn't kill him, and then would most likely reconcile with him. But Ahithophel's job would be over, and most likely his life as well. In other words, because he counseled Absalom in his rebellion, David would have had him put to death. Ahithophel knew this, so he had to make sure that there was no chance that Absalom and David would ever be reconciled. And this wicked thing that he had Absalom do was definitely going to seal the deal of their complete break of their relationship. Although, even to the end, David held out that Absalom shouldn't be killed. As you heard, he gave his leaders, military leaders, Joab and the other commanders, strict orders to deal gently with Absalom, even though Absalom was a traitor and completely trying to usurp his authority as king. But Ahithophel was thinking of his own future. So then, as the story progressed, we find that Absalom comes into the city of Jerusalem. David has already fled. And then what happens? Ahithophel is called to Absalom along with others and is requested to give counsel as to what Absalom should do next to absolutely make sure that he has the kingdom completely in his power. And that's when Ahithophel gives him what's actually good strategic counsel in the sense of a military sense. He tells him immediately, take 12,000 men and go fall upon them while they're weak and weary and tired at the Jordan. And it was true. David and all the people were tired. They got to the Jordan River. They stopped there. And Ahithophel's counsel actually would have worked. But God was going to intervene. And that's the part that Ahithophel didn't take into consideration. He never considered the God factor in this. Because the scripture tells us that God had already planned to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. That was the plan of God. And he did it by giving Hushai the Archite, who was another one of David's counselors, favor enough with Absalom to consider his counsel as well. So Absalom asked him, so what do you think? Here's what Ahithophel says. Should we do that or something else? At that point, Hushai gives him different counsel with the intention of trying to protect David and give David a chance to get away, because he knew if they followed Ahithophel's counsel, David would be dead before morning. But he was able to convince Absalom that he better get a huge army, which was basically he was stalling him. You better call for soldiers from all over the whole country and then go after David. All of it was a stall, trying to give David a chance to get away. And he sent word to David to do exactly that, to not camp at the river that night, to get out of Dodge, so to speak, to cross the river and hide in the wilderness so that Absalom and Ahithophel's counsel would not have the victory over David. So with that, Ahithophel realized that his counsel wasn't being taken. And we see this fascinating statement that says, when Ahithophel realized that his counsel wasn't followed, he saddled his donkey, went home to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died. Now, why on earth would he commit suicide just because his counsel wasn't taken that time? Well, I think he knew that Absalom was finished, because once he realized that Hushai's advice was going to be followed, he knew that Absalom wasn't going to be able to overcome David. It was giving David time to organize his troops and figure out a plan and how to deal with it. And I think Ahithophel realized, oh, now David's going to have the upper hand. Absalom will be the one that gets killed. And when that happens, his life is over as well, because he had sided with the rebellion of Absalom. So he left and he committed suicide rather than being executed when David returned to the city of Jerusalem. But I want to bring this example of Ahithophel and his opportunistic spirit before you. We live in a day when people make decisions so often based on their own selfish reasons for selfish gain, with little or no regard for principle or what is right in the eyes of God or what is right with regard to other people. God doesn't want us to have that same spirit like Ahithophel has had, as we read about today. In fact, it's very tempting to do exactly that, especially in a corporate work setting, where perhaps people and situations come up. And if you were opportunistic and you didn't walk in a very principled manner in the way that you deal with people, your supervisor, or anything, or people in that type of a situation, you could make choices that were very self-centered, rather than selfless and thoughtful of others. And I just want to encourage you that we as believers need to be careful that we don't excuse ourselves from maintaining or holding to principles, holding to a spirit of love, walking in love in every situation, even if it means to your own hurt, keeping your word when you've promised someone in your job, I'll stay this long, and then another opportunity comes up, and you don't keep your word to stay for 2 years working at that company because this opportunity arose, and you want to take it, and it's going to in some way make your life nicer, better, have more money, or whatever the reason is. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that same temptation of being opportunistic and take advantage of people, situations, circumstances, employers, or whatever the situation is for your own selfish gain with no regard for others and no regard for what the Lord would have you to do. So let's be careful that we are people of principle, people who are honoring it to the Lord and keep our word as well. David's counselor, Ahithophel, was not loyal. He wasn't honest. He was a deceiver. He pretended to be faithful to David when at the same time he's counseling rebellion in his own ranks from his own son. And that was a tragic situation. And people who walk like that, live like that, operate like that, end up in a disaster. Ahithophel ended up committing suicide. His end was not good. And it never pays to try to take care of yourself in comparison to trusting the Lord, letting God be your provider. Let God be the one who promotes you. Let God be the one who opens doors for you and you don't try to force them open through deception or being disloyal to someone else. So consider that as you go through your week and be prayerful over your own life so that your decisions are based on what is right in the sight of God and men. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at MyEverydayBible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.